all we do is a prayer. Lift your hands. Let your fire that burns in the throne room of the Lord transform us from inside out. In the name that is above every name, even let your message come to us today as transforming fire. Transforming fire. Transforming fire. Let it change somebody's life, somebody's story. In the name of Jesus. Blessed be your name, Lord. Open our eyes, the eyes of our spirit, eyes of our mind, eyes of our understanding. And give us a love revolution that will delete this hate revolution. We worship you, we honor you, we adore you. In Jesus' precious name. Give the Lord a big clap of hand as we take your seat. Hallelujah. I welcome everyone here this morning to this wonderful service before the presence of the Lord. And I believe that God will speak to us further. Last Sunday, the feedback was very, very massive from all around the world. And some people feel that this is not just a message for Christians, it's a message for anybody who is a person. And that this message should saturate the earth. So I heard that some even radio stations have decided on their own, I think about 10 or 12 or more of them, to air the messages on their own. Give the Lord the praise. I have told them that they should help us with the timing of the airing, so that we can also maybe place it on the screen so that you can listen to it. So we are going to press further, a little bit further, in that message. Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 15. Hebrews chapter 12 verse 15. He said, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And thereby many be defiled. That is, it's a root of bitterness that spreads like an infection. And so today I'm speaking on the subject, toxic hate. You've heard of toxic waste. We are now talking of toxic hate. Might put in bracket the toxicity of hate, the poisonousness. When you are talking of toxin, you are talking of poison, the poisonousness. And so this morning we'll be understanding the manifestations of hate. And second, we shall be understanding the toxicity or the poisonousness of hate, the toxicity of it. Finally, we want to understand our response to hate. What should be our response? Any subject or any issue that is serious enough to take people to hell is an issue that deserves great attention. But just very quickly, let us recap last Sunday. There are four things that we need to recap on. And number one was that love is the foundation for godly character. We saw that last Sunday. That love is foundational for godly character, meaning that hate is the foundation for ungodly character. Love is foundation for godly character, so hate is the foundation for ungodly character. Number two, and repetition is very good for retention. Number two, we said, walking in love is walking with God, because God is love. Walking in love is walking with God. And walking with God is ending with God. We said that. Walking in love is walking with God, and walking with God is ending with God. Wherever God is, that is where you end, walking in love. Contrarywise, walking in hate is walking with Satan, and walking with Satan is ending with Satan. I'm sure our media will ensure that this recap is also captured as we proceed. Number three, last Sunday it was clarified that attack on love was the foundation for the two earliest sins of mankind, the two earliest recorded sins. Attack on love. That is the sin of Adam and Eve. When Satan began to sow the seeds of hatred in their heart against God. And of course the sin of Cain. Those two sins were sins that were attacks on love. Hatred came in and sin came. That attack on love was the foundation for the two earliest sins. Number four, recap from last Sunday, is that we live in a world that is filled with the plague of lovelessness. The plague of lovelessness. An epidemic of love. A bankruptcy of love. And we called it the hate revolution. A world that is plagued with lovelessness, a world that is plagued with an epidemic of love, of lovelessness, the bankruptcy of love, or a hate revolution. And the aim of the devil is to overrun the earth with evil and damn souls for eternity. I was talking with someone, was speaking with me, I think, on Friday. He told me how people who lived in his house that he trained in school, who are no longer in talking terms with him, live in your house, live with you, eat your food. You send them to school. And they say, who do you think you are? That is the kind of love world we live in. Having said that, today we want to go a bit further to examine the toxicity of hate. To understand that hate is a toxin, a poison. You know, both the liver, especially the kidneys, the assignment is to remove toxins from the body. So when the kidney fails, the toxins build up in the system. The uric acid, the urea, the creatinines. And they just build up in the body to the destruction of the person. So the hate is a toxin now. There are levels in which the toxin, the poison of hate affects. And I want you to note it. First of all, the poison of hate affects the person. And the personality of the hateful. The person who is hating. The poison affects his person. Affects his personality. Second, the poison of hate affects the environment of the hateful. When you live with somebody who is full of hatred, the atmosphere chokes you. It affects the environment of the hateful. Thirdly, the poison of hate affects society at large. He said, many be defiled. But this is the worst. Fourthly, the poison of hate, if not managed, affects the victim of the hate. And I'll tell you why. So the person and the personality of the hateful, the bitter person, his life is affected. His environment, those who live around, is just transferred. Children are just under pressure because of the quarrel between husband and wife. It affects society, but this is the worst. It affects the victim of the hate, the one that is being hated. The objective of the hateful and the demon of hate is to ensure that an equal and opposite hateful reaction. You heard the laws of physics. To every action, there is an equal and opposite reaction. So, is it me he's talking about like this? Right? All right. And then the poison is planted. You also become hateful and damned for hell. That is why he said, looking diligently, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and many be defiled. It's a chain reaction. Hate me, I hate you. I'm sure you heard that law. What, how did they say it? Do me, I do you. God know the best. That's the kind of thing. Do me, I do you. So it becomes a poison. But I decree today, you will never be the victim of such a poison. Anybody looking to drag you into bitterness, looking to drag you into hatred, looking to drag you into enmity, they will never be able to succeed in the name of Jesus. Let us quickly look at the manifestations of hate. We saw some last week, but this is good. There may be the repetition of some points we made, but this is to make it concise. When people hate, what is the manifestation? Number one is the maintenance of, and this is the manifestation of toxic hate. First is the maintenance of permanent focus on the victim of their hate. There seems to be a focus on the victim of their hate, the object of their hate. They sleep, wake, and walk with hateful thoughts about the person they hate. Do you understand that? That is called toxic hate. When you see Herodias, whose daughter danced before Herod, and they asked the daughter, "What should I give you for dancing?" And she went to ask her mother. The mother did not think twice. It's the head of John the Baptist. All I am looking for, just give me the head of John the Baptist. That is, out of the abundance. Have you ever come to the point where a particular person or particular people made you the focus of their attention, their thought, they walk, they sleep, they talk, and you are their subject? Like the psalmist said, I am their song all the day long. That is called toxic hate. And it is plenty in our generation today. But it will never be your portion in the name of Jesus. Number two is the action of alignment with other perceived haters of their victim. They align. Alignment with other perceived haters of their victim. They suddenly become friends with the enemies of their victim of hate. I illustrated it last Sunday. They become friends. They may not have any other common interest with that person, but they have a common enemy. Let us band together. The Bible calls it in Psalm 119 verse 61, bands of wicked people, bands of wickedness. Let us band together. The bands of the wicked, they have robbed me of joy, robbed me of peace. They banded themselves together. Do you understand what I'm talking about? That is the world in which we live in. You are in the office where you work. Somebody thinks that you are not their friend, and they have noticed that somebody hates you. They just begin to become friend with that person so that you can see. Toxic hate, number three, is the action of keeping a record of the wrong deeds of their victims. A record, there's a record. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and in verse 5, when the Bible was enumerating concerning love, where he said, thinketh no evil, one translation said, he keeps no record of wrongs. It does, love does not keep the record of wrongs, but hatred keeps the record of wrongs. Am I communicating? And when this happens in a marital setting, it becomes disaster. That's right. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. So hate keeps a record of wrongs. I hear and I'm aware of people who have book of wrong do deed, date, offense, implication on my life. Fact, date, time, 12th October 1983, time 1:03 p.m. The place, dining hall of government secondary school. Offense, insulting me in the front of everybody. Remarks. I may forgive, but I can't forget. I've seen couples before. When issue rise up, they will bring out a book. Or rather even say from their mind. Say, this is the same thing you did in 1979. And it was in the evening, I think, if I'm not mistaken, it is 7:13 p.m. They are very accurate in keeping the record. It doesn't do you anything. Keeping of the record of wrong is a manifestation of toxic bitterness, toxic hate. What the offender has forgotten, the offended has not, and left it in his system for his destruction. It's toxic hate. Number four is the action of celebrating and rejoicing in the misfortunes or challenges of their victim. This is, hate is bad. where someone hates somebody and he is celebrating and rejoicing either in the misfortune or in the challenge of his victim. Hate is wicked. I think they say they are always flying abroad. He just lost the bank job now. Good for them. Lost the job. Lost the house. Good for him. Lost. I hear he's in the hospital now. Had an accident. Even to the point of celebrating bereavement. Wicked, the wickedness of hate. And as far as I'm concerned, that borders now on witchcraft. It is bitterness that graduated into witchcraft. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13 verse 6, concerning love, the Bible said it does not rejoice in iniquity. It doesn't rejoice in evil. Now, I am not talking about where an evil man is judged, like a witch in a village, like a strong man, a cultic person who got a deserved judgment. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about people experiencing this kind of thing. I'm talking about the reason why you are hated is that you are handsome or beautiful, or that you are a Christian, or that you are still alive, or that you are successful, or you are not a failure, or let me say you are not asking them for money, you are not begging anymore, you are not borrowing anymore, so you are hated. And the job that is making you not to beg again, you lost it, they celebrate it. Whatever is making you not to look wretched, once anything happens, they celebrate and jubilate. That is toxic hate. That is the world in which we live. Do you know there are people who will never say, who will never greet you until they heard maybe you are in the hospital or your loved one? I heard that you are not well. I just called to say sorry. That sorry is not a sorry. That sorry is a hatred. It's a celebration. And there are some people whose call you may not need to receive at such times, when you know that the sorry is not a sincere one. It's a hateful one. Are you hearing what I'm saying next? That is the reality of the water. How come you don't greet me at normal times? How come we are not really in talking? I mean, you don't talk to me. I don't know what I did. But you are the first one to hear that the downsizing that was happening in the office affected him. You say, I just called. I said, I heard that you are one of those that was downsized from your office. In this hard economy, only God will help you. These are human beings. How people can have the heart? That's what the girl was testifying, and I was wondering. That they were laughing and mocking at her. Somebody who has a gunshot wound on the chest and became almost disabled. People are laughing at her. Oh no. We're in a meeting one day, a little meeting. I think a classmate's meeting. Sometime. And one of the young men looked at one and said, You. My child is almost about to go to university now. You have not yet married. What is happening to you? You people, catch him. I say, what are you talking about? Is there anybody who is in his normal ability that will deliberately remain like this? Do you think that he is... Supposing a witchcraft is fighting him. Suppose an essential power is fighting him. Don't say that again. I called the young man aside. What does it take for you to get married? What's hindering you? See, he doesn't really know. But he doesn't have a job. All right, let's get about it. Called him to Abuja to my office. Long story made short, give me the bill of anything you want. Go and get married. Have you found somebody? Say he's found somebody already. Long story made short, less than a year from that time, or 6 months, he was married. Pushed him all manner of resources. And also assisted him to be established, because if he gets married, he needs to take care of the wife. Because you can marry for him, but will you feed the wife for him? Do you understand what I'm talking about? Something that should provoke empathy is provoking mockery. That is the hateful world we live in. Something that should make you pity a person, you are laughing at him. Say, look at his wear, look at the shoe he's wearing. Some people can say, signboard, the same dress all the time, the same dress all. If he has a separate, a new dress, will he wear the same dress? Say, the same cloth all the time. This is signboard. You don't know that God is giving you a revelation. That since your eyes are open to see that he's having only one dress, change his dress. Change his shoe. For knowing and not doing something about it is part of your own judgment. What some people are using to mock people is what God will use to judge them. You are laughing at this man for this and laughing at her for that, and you did nothing about it. The Bible said, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That is the hate world we live in. Celebrating misfortunes. Mocking people for what they should be pitying them about. Number next is the action. 5. Or the attitude of referring to the victim despisingly, disdainfully, and disrespectfully. Toxic hate. No matter how big or small their victim is, they refer to them despisingly, disdainfully, disrespectfully. In fact, when people are full of hate, for example, and you see somebody and you bend and say, good morning, sir. They are wondering, sir, good morning, sir, to who? Who is he? What is the other joint to say, sir? In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and in verse 2, the Bible talks about without people without natural affection. Verse 1. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. Truth breakers, false accusers, incontestants, despisers of those that are good, or in fact, those that they hate, they despise them. There are some people, by the time they finish talking about their victim, their hate subject, you won't buy the man for 1 naira. You won't. For a dime. Look at this, look at him. Somebody is passing, he is their subject. Slanderously. If mouth was bullet, the man would have died. If words were bullet, they had already killed him with their mouth. Some sit with their wife and their children. Somebody is their topic. A pastor is their topic. A Christian brother in church is their topic. at the end of the day, what did you gain? What has been achieved? Other than you use words to kill a person. Is God speaking to anybody here today? In the work of love, the reputation of people is safe in your hands. Is safe with you. Even bad people, their badness is not a subject from your mouth. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? It is not a subject from your mouth. There are people I have had discussion with, discuss their challenges or discuss their whatever, and I'm privy to certain things about their lives that no mortal will hear under heaven, not my wife. Because it will be injustice to that person's character to open up something that should be protected for the protection of their reputation. Do you understand what I'm talking about? This is the hate world. There are people, the person didn't, and I'm going to come to that one just shortly. The person didn't even do anything. When my wife asked one or two questions, whenever, and I am mute, once mute, it's okay, I realize it is something you don't want to talk about. That's the end. You will never be in such a position. That is, you will never be in such a position. Would you lift your hands and your voice and say, Father, I receive the grace. 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 Someone did something, and whatever the person did had consequences that was almost life-threatening to the person. And I realize a flock, a sheep. And after restoring the person, process of prayer and process of fasting and mercy from God and so on, person said, I am sorry before God and before pastor. I'm sorry. Please let mommy know I am sorry. I say, mommy is not aware of anything except you want me to tell her now. It's okay, no need. Because he assumed that it is husband and wife. So whatever I know, she must know. I said, no, it's not like that. Do you understand what I'm saying? Somebody comes and says, oh, you know, that one, he did abortion. This one did this, that one did. Wow. So that the next time they see the person passing, they see them with a bad eye. The respect they had for them crashes. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Don't do that. Any dignity you want to have, allocate it to the other person. Any respect you want to have, allocate it to the other person. The action. Number 6 is the act of saying and doing things deliberately. Toxic hate. The act of saying and doing things deliberately to cause pain. Hurt. To the victim of their hatred. They say things, they do things deliberately to your sin, to cause pain, to cause hurt, to the victims of their hatred and their bitterness. And this is what they do it for you to see it. For example, you arrive at a place, at a function. Everybody is sitting. And you came and greeted. Hello, good day. How are you? Shake me. Don't be afraid. How are you? Happy to see you. Happy to see you. As he sees me shaking and shaking, drop your things. Drop your things. This guy just stood up. I said, see you all later. He walks out. In other words, my enemy just arrived. I must not only not greet him, but I can't be where he is. He just stands up in your to your looking. Maybe you have a speech to present. As soon as they introduce you, somebody carries his bag. Bye. Toxic hate. Hate that looks like witchcraft. The person who broke your heart is the person that your best friend is dating and claims he wants to marry. To your notice, they printed their whatever card and posted it and tagged you. In my class, there is a young man, medical school class, on a permanent basis, any day you see him, say, guys are bad. Guys are bad. Guys are bad. That is how we have in this world. People are really bad. Not that they are doing the thing and you are not aware. They want you to know what they are doing so it can pain you. Toxic hate. I am saying so you can be aware of the symptoms, so you are not a bearer of this hate. I am also saying it so that you can know how to respond to it. In Proverbs chapter 18, chapter 12, and in verse 18, it said, There is he that speaketh like the piercings of a sword. He's saying things, he's doing things as if he carries a knife. Toxic hate. I hope that I finish this subject today. That is the action. Number seven. Is the decision to believe every terrible thing they hate, they hear about their hate victim. The decision to believe every terrible thing they hear about their hate victim. And this is what it means. It is the decision to give their victim no benefit of the doubt. This man, we heard he killed person. He said it's true, it's possible. He can do anything. The decision to judge and draw negative conclusions even before they hear from their victim. They believe the worst. Hatred is bad though. And let me give you just a practical example. In this hate generation we live in, man comes home from work, wife jacks him on the collar. Say, let's continue the fight from yesterday. The man ran. He returns back home. He carries a pestle that they used to pound Pandaria. It's about to hit his head. He ran. Next day, man appears home. Wife carries a knife or holds him in his, don't know what the Bible calls it. like he wants to kill him and choke him. White man finally packs from the house. Wife goes on the internet. Wicked man abandons wife and four children to starve to death in this economy. Without hearing a word from the man, professional haters go to town. Especially if the man is popular. Go to town. So we know he's such a wicked man. Look at him. Just tear him to pieces. That is the hate generation we live in. The victim is not heard. At times, the so-called victim is not the victim. At times, the attacked is the victim. But it's not heard. But the world is so filled with hate that people just jump on everything. You see Proverbs chapter 18 verse 13. Very serious scripture. It says, he that answereth a matter before he heareth it. He already has an answer before hearing from the other side. He said to him, it is foolishness and shame. Foolishness and shame. He has already jumped to conclusion. Because, you see, the Bible says, love believeth all things. In the work of love, you give people the benefit of the doubt. You consider them not guilty until proven otherwise. That's the work of love. That's the standard work of love. Finally, and this will lead me to something very serious. Maybe I'll stop here, stop at this particular place today for the sake of time because time I set is up. Number, that should be number seven, eight now, right? Right, number eight is permanent existence. Toxic hate is permanent existence with a critical and judgmental heart. People who walk in hatred instead of love, they exist permanently with a critical and judgmental spirit, blinded with hate and bitterness. They will never see any right move you made. They will never see any right step you took. To say good about nothing. Permanent fault finders. Existence. Matthew chapter 7 verse 1. He said, judge not that you be not judged. He said, for verse 2, for with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. There are people who put themselves in judgment seat. I'm sure you know that. They are judges of everybody. Some call themselves social critic. The aim is to judge everybody. Some open a whole internet. A page, right? The only thing to do is to pick people and just cut them after the other. There are some who says that no pastor is good on earth and no church is good. In fact, nobody is good. maybe they are the only one good, which is a total 100% lie, and I will show that to you shortly. Do you understand what I'm saying? It is the spirit of the devil that try to find fault even in Jehovah, in Genesis. For God knows, God is not sincere. He's hiding something from you. That is why he says you shouldn't eat the fruit. But for everyone that will sit in judgment over others, if I end the message here today, maybe I'll continue next Sunday. For everyone that will sit in judgment over others, there are three things you must know. Specific facts about being a toxic hater that is judging others. Three things. Maybe I'll end there. John chapter 8 and in verse 7. The woman was caught in adultery. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. If you haven't sinned in your life, you haven't done any wrong, go ahead and kill this woman. Cast the stone. Post your comment. Send your contribution. You haven't done anything. This is what it means. Point number one. The only person qualified to sit in judgment. Let me put it like this. The only person qualified to making judging others his trade. That is, judging others is your trade. The only person qualified to making judging others his or her trade or profession is the one who is perfect in every way. That is your trade, your profession is to comment on everybody's behavior and action. The only person that is qualified to make that his trade and his profession is the one who is perfect in every way. The one who has no sin, no error, no mistake, no failure. You haven't sinned. You have not made a mistake. You haven't failed. You don't have an error. Then you are qualified to analyze the mistakes and judge the errors and judge the failures and judge the transgressions of everybody. But if you are not in that position, you have no moral power. Number two, it gets deeper as we go. Matthew chapter 7, where we just read, let's look at verse 3 to verse 5. And why beholdest thou the mote? Alright, start from verse 1. Judge not that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, it shall be judged. And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in, another translation says the speck, that is in your brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in your own eye? Or how will you say to your brother, let me pull out the mote in your eye, and behold, a beam is in your own eye? You hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of your own eye, and then you shall see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. You know what God is saying? You are looking at somebody and you say there is a broomstick in your eye. And God is saying there is timber wood in your own eye. There is timber wood, roofing wood in your own eye. With what eye are you using to see the broomstick? Somebody has a little stain of vegetable. oil, the granite oil, on his shed. You see, you are looking at that. Meanwhile, your own dress is painted with poo. Are you seeing? And this is very, very instructive. He said, every critic looking at the broom in the eye of the other person has a log of wood in his eyes. So this is the point. Two. First of all, we said, the only person who is qualified to making, judging others, his or her trade or profession, is the one who is perfect in every way. Second, most people who sit as judge over others are confirmed hypocrites who have far worse issues in their lives than what they judge in their victims. Again, most people who sit as judge over others, hey, this one did this, this one is doing that, hey, see this, this one has done this now, that one has done that now, he said they are confirmed hypocrites who have far worse issues in their lives than what they judge, what they are attempting to judge in the lives of their victims. Correction is good. Trying to draw a person's attention to things that may need change is good. But sitting as a judge in perfection is disaster. But number three is the worst. James chapter 2, verse 13. Look at what he said. For he shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. 2:13a. He shall have judgment without mercy that has showed no mercy. And the third point is, those who judge others without mercy will experience judgment without mercy from God, both in this world and in the world to come. Those who judge others without mercy, you carry the person, pieces him. He did this, he did that, he did this. As a perfect person yourself. He said, both in this world and in the world to come, before God, they must experience judgment without mercy. Lord, have mercy. Say mercy on who? How many people have you had mercy on? Lord, forgive me. Forgive you what? How many people did you forgive? There will be a lot of repentance we have to do. A young man came to me all the way from South Africa. He said that he dreamt a dream in the night. And he saw himself having an iniquitous relationship with a woman in that dream. And when he woke up in the morning, maybe the woman was an agent. He then went into the same iniquitous thing with the same person. And then it multiplied until ministry died. Family died. Marriage died. Ministry died. Everything died. So he said, I need help, but who can I talk to that will not judge me? Who can I talk to that will not condemn me? He said, let me go and see my pastor in Nigeria. He said, but won't he judge me? He said, well, even if he judges me, no problem. So he looked for money and flew down to Nigeria. You brought him. When he narrated his ordeal, later on I heard from him, he said he thought that after he narrated his ordeal, I am going to look at you and say, you devil, Where were you looking? And the whole church went down and your family died. So I put my hand on his shoulder like this. Say, it is well with you. In the name of Jesus, you shall be restored. I will trust God along with you. You're going to take a fast. And I gave him a book titled Your Character and Your Destiny. Go through this book 3 days fast. I'll take you to the altar. I did that. Prayed for him. Took him to the altar. Prayed for him. Bound that devil. Because that which happened in the dream and manifested in the physical is not natural. By the time we were through, he needed money. We gave him airfare to go to Lagos and bought him flight ticket from Lagos down to South Africa. Next time he came with a testimony. I am restored. Marriage is back. Ministry is back. Everything is now going well. If you are not the person in that person's shoe, God was the only reason why. Not powerfulness or strength. Are you hearing what I'm saying here today? He said, who will I talk to that will not judge me? You see, there are many people who can't talk to anybody because they will be judged like him. He came also from Cameroon, right? From America. Oh yes, he told me how many years? He has been into certain things and he came all the way from America. The same treatment. It's over, it will be over. This man standing right here. Most people can't talk to anybody. Even people talk to their wife. The same thing they talk to their wife about is what the wife is using to insult them. I met a man and a woman, a wife, a high ranking woman in the finance industry. I think she was a manager or a whatever, very high ranking. But herself and the husband, daggers drawn, because the husband confided in him something, maybe something, and that became her attack on him in the times of quarrel. And the man said, no, I can't. As far as the man was concerned, the woman can kill him if he can use this thing to insult him. Most people don't know who to talk to because they don't know who will judge them and they don't know who will show them mercy. But don't forget this. Those who judge people mercilessly, who show no mercy on others, will come to the point where Jehovah God will handle them without mercy for what a man sows that he shall reap. Calm down, sir. Calm down. Calm down. You keep on making your duty. What are you? Okay. You keep on making your duty the issue of digging into people's life. What if God anoints somebody to dig into your life? Calm down. Calm down. If ever you know that one day you will face a Jehovah that cannot be bribed, just ensure that you walk in the love of God. Give people the benefit of the doubt and allowance for help and for change. The way you would want your issues treated, treat people's issues like that. Treat people's issues like that. The way you will want anything about you treated. Treat the things about others like that. And it's a new day. I am actually in the middle of the message. This is halfway of what I plan to preach today. But I'll take it from here next Sunday. Stand up on your feet. Hallelujah. Stand up on your feet. By next Sunday, we are going to look at the actual toxicity. What toxins exist for the hateful? And then we shall proceed in dealing with hate.
so that the poison does not saturate you to the point where you became bitter in reaction to the hatred. And then it is bitterness versus bitterness until they drag you along to hell. What do I do? We'll look at all of that. Maybe a little issue about love as we wrap up. But it's a new season for somebody. Lift up your hands and lift up your voice and let's appreciate God. Let's appreciate Him. Let's worship Him. Let's honor Him. Let's adore Him. Let's magnify Him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we magnify you. Be glorified. Be honored. Be adored. Be worshipped. In the name of Jesus, El Ayon, the great I am that I am. Leka sata kebe golayada hazagadista. Leke pereke setredi gobaruna hazagadaste. Leka sete fete sina galayada gadayada horatosa. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Lift up your hands. Lift up your hands. Lift up your voice. Appreciate Him for His word. Appreciate Him for what we have heard. Thank Him and thank Him. And thank Him and thank Him. Father, we give you the praise. Father, we give you the honor. Father, we give you the adoration. Father, we give you the worship. Thank you, Elion. Thank you, Adonai. Thank you, Mekadesh. Thank you, Keren Yesha. We worship you, we honor you, and we adore you. Be glorified, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Lift up your hands everywhere you are today and say, Father. Say it louder. Say, Father.
Father,
I come before you.
I come before you
today,
and I receive.
Deliverance from the toxin. Poison of hate. In the name of Jesus, I receive deliverance from the toxin and the poison of hate. In the name of Jesus, I receive your help. I receive your mercy to walk in love. In the name of Jesus. One more time, say, Father, I receive freedom. I receive deliverance from the toxin and the poison of hate. I receive freedom. I receive liberty today, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Go on ahead, open your mouth, lift your voice and pray. The Lord for the grace to walk in love. Last week I gave a call for people who have had bitterness in their hearts because of offense and because of how people have tried to injure you, have tried to wound you, do things against you until you became very bitter. If there is anybody who wasn't in that service and this morning you are here and you want healing from bitterness, healing from hatred, healing from malice, from grudge, because of the actions of people against you, I'd like you to step forward also right here and pray. We're going to pray this. You can come all the way to the altar, pick your Bibles and your bags, and right here we shall pray. Lift up your hands and we're going to ask. The Bible says love is a spirit. The second on others, thou art.
Holy, do not pass me by.
All the actions I mentioned now, some people have manifested them against you to such a point where your heart is so bitter. You can't let go. You can't forgive. And it has affected you in many areas. But Lord, I want to forgive. I want to be able to forgive. I feel so pained. I feel so pained. How do you feel? When someone you brought from the village to town, as his eyes opened in town, his eye opened against you. How do you feel? He is jobless until you found him a job. But he is with the bands of wickedness against you. He is carless until you gave him a car. That is, he is eating and driving from you. But you are not only his enemy, he locates your enemies to be their friends. You see life? You are evicted. I'm just talking already. You see life? See life? If you mind people's behavior, you may not want to help anybody or talk to anybody. You just want to mind yourself. If you mind people's behavior. One young man came some time ago. He's directionless, he's stranded, ministry-wise. I gave him, asked him to come to Abuja to meet me. He came, put him in the hotel, placed him on spiritual exercise, all manner. Got fired up. His life changed. He wasn't married, he got married. Got citizenship somewhere outside the country. All manner. Next time we saw, he was looking at me. I said, do I know you from somewhere? He's looking at me like he saw a stranger. Do I know this man from anywhere? Hola, hola. That one is negative fire. Matter deal. If some people tell you their own, Akwe Magana, Kaberi Kowe, just leave the matter. Matters they plenty. But I pray for us for help. So we are going to ask God for the spirit of that spirit. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of love. 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7. So love is a spirit. Father, I ask for the baptism of the spirit of love on my life here today. Put those on their knees and those standing up there who are going to be praying, and those on your knees, you are going to be releasing the people that have hurt you, wounded you, cost you pain. You are going to release them. Lift your hands everywhere you are and pray after me and say, Father, I come before you today. I ask for the spirit of love, a baptism of the spirit of love on my life. I receive the baptism of the spirit of love on my life today. In the name of Jesus, I receive deliverance from the spirit of bitterness, from the spirit of hatred. I receive that baptism now. Lift your voice and pray. Open your mouth. I receive deliverance from the spirit of hatred. I receive the baptism.
Lift up your hands everywhere you are. Father, we give you the praise. Lift your hands higher. Father, we give you the honor. We give you the adoration. All you need at this moment is God's hand of love to touch you. When wicked people touch you, they harm you. When God touches you, it's a healing balm. He heals you. He helps you. It is his helping hand. Let the help of God come to nullify the heart of man in your life. Let the help of God, let the hand of God come to neutralize the harm of man in your life. Lift your hands everywhere you are. Thank you.
hands everywhere you are. Those of us on our knees, I pray for you today, grace to release. In the name of Jesus, there is a burning here, there is a physician there, so your hurt is healed. I declare release, I declare release, I declare release, I declare release. Release of pain, release of hurt, release of bitterness, release of every form of injury. It's released right now. In the name of Jesus, help her there. In the name of every spirit of hate, every spirit of bitterness, that's right, help her. I command your yoke broken, your yoke broken, your yoke broken. Get out! Lift your hands now. You want to receive the hand of God upon your life. When I say in the name of Jesus. I prophesy upon you today. That's right. I prophesy upon you today. I prophesy upon you today the release of the hand of God upon your life and the breaking of every yoke of bitterness and hate. When I say in the name of Jesus, 1, 2, 3, you scream and receive, and place your hand on your head and receive. Father, give your children a visitation right now. In the name of Jesus, 1, 2, and 3. I see healings, I see deliverances, I see liberations, I see yokes broken, I see health from above, in the name of Jesus. I see hypertension healed, diabetes healed, I see ulcers healed, I see arthritis healed, I see spirits of oppression gone, I see the release of everything that is yours. Put your hands. Those on your knees, you can stand up on your feet now. Congratulations. Congratulations. You can return back to your seat. Send your fire, Lord. Send your fire, Lord. Oh Lord, I need your fire. Send your fire, Lord. Send your fire. I need your fire. Send your fire, Lord. Send your fire, Lord. Send your fire, Lord. Oh, Lord.
we give you the praise. We give you the honor. Take your seat where you are. Time is fast, so fast then. Please. Masha Kokobai, what a day. Father, we give you the praise. Someone else needs forgiveness from God. Your own is that, Lord, I've offended you in many ways. I need forgiveness. You want an addiction broken. You want to return back to God. You got bitter. In fact, your own bitterness is against God. You are quarreling with God. Maybe something went wrong in your life. But you've gone far from God. You want to return back. Quickly stand up on your feet.
I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. The path of sin no more to trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to roam. Open wide thine arms of love. Lord, I'm coming home.
Will you give us a ballad or a country? Which one?
I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. The paths of sin so long after. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Coming home. Never more to know.
Almost like a hug. Quickly step forward here. Let the yoke of addictions be broken. Let the yoke of smokings be broken. Let masturbations be broken. Let prostitutions be broken. Let bonds be broken. Or you've come to rededicate your life to Jesus. Quickly come forward now.
Lord, I'm coming.
Coming, coming, coming home. I give you the chance of fight to join us. One, two, Lord, I'm coming.
Place your hand on your chest and pray after me and say, Lord Jesus, I come before you today to surrender my life to you. Today is my decision to follow you, Lord, no turning back. Forward ever, backward never. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray for you today. I declare the hold of sin broken. Grace to live for God is released upon you. In Jesus' precious name, amen.